Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. This is me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, Colombia, 2,600 meters closer to the stars. And this is episode 435 of the Columbia Calling podcast. This week's very special guest needs no introduction to any of you. Dave Proctor of the legend, La Leyenda, the multi-stage and also now single-day stages mountain bike races in Colombia. Very cool indeed what he and Brian have set up along with their very efficient and capable team. They've put together one of the premier, I would say, if not the best, multi-stage and single-day events for mountain bikers here in Colombia. So we'll be talking to him about coming back to the scene after COVID, of course. So yes, that's right. Sunday just passed, and well, we have a new president. President Gustavo Petro is in power. There were a little bit of, there was petty to and fro's on Sunday. That's right, about the Bolivar sword and the ceremony. But you can read up on that online. I'm not going to get into it. There's a back and forth. First leftist president in Colombia's history. So well, let's see how he does. Of course, we'll be watching here, and I hope to get some analysts on in coming weeks and months to talk about what's going on in Colombia. Please remember, of course, that the Columbia Calling podcast is sponsored by Latin News, a leading source of political and economic analysis on Latin America and the Caribbean since 1967. Their flagship publication, the Latin American Weekly Report, provides a behind-the-scenes briefing on all the week's key developments throughout the region. Sign up for a 14-day free trial at latinnews.com. Also, this episode is brought to you by BNB Colombia Tours, experts in custom-made travel throughout Colombia. The team at BNB Colombia Tours can provide you with a fantastic private experience, creating wonderful memories of Colombia for a lifetime. Check out the website at bnbcolombia.com. Complete the free itinerary form and tell them that Columbia Calling sent you to receive a further 5% off their already great prices. So please support our sponsors, latinnews.com and bnbcolombia.com. We'll be back with the news. That's with Emily Hart in London at the moment. And then we'll be back after that, segment three, with Dave Proctor on La Leyenda, or the legend of El Dorado, La Leyenda, multi-stage and single-day stages, single-day events, mountain bike racing in Colombia. Of course, thank you again to all of those of you who signed up on Patreon to support us. That's www.patreon.com/Columbia Calling. You can throw a few dollars at us a month and help us maintain economic viability of the Columbia Calling podcast. Thank you again, and don't go away.
I'm Emily Hart, and these are your top stories for the week of August 8th, 2022. Colombia officially has a new president. Gustavo Petro, the country's first ever left-wing leader, was sworn in on Sunday in a huge ceremony in Bogota, attended by more than 100,000 people. The presidential address emphasized the struggle against inequality, plans for the industrialization of the country, and what Petro terms total peace. "I will work to achieve true and definitive peace, like no one else, like never before," he said. He reiterated his planned tax reform, which is how he plans to pursue equity, and his environmental policies, as well as promising that his government will remain in social and regional dialogue. Food security was another key element, as Petro says that the idea of food security based exclusively on international trade has collapsed this year, necessitating a focus on agriculture and self-sufficiency. Another key element of his address was the war on drugs, which he says has failed, leaving a million dead in Latin America over 40 years, while still allowing 70,000 North Americans to die by overdose each year. The war on drugs strengthened mafias and weakened states, he said, calling for a new international convention and massive policy reform. The president concluded with an unequivocal call for unity, both national and Latin American. Symbolically and against convention, the presidential sash was placed on Gustavo Petro by Congresswoman Maria José Pizarro, daughter of murdered M19 leader Carlos Pizarro León Gómez, who was murdered in 1990 while running for president just days after signing a peace deal between guerrilla group M19 and the Colombian state. M19 was the rebel group to which Petro himself belonged in his youth. There was some controversy between the outgoing and incoming presidents over a ceremonial sword. In one of his last actions as president, Iván Duque prevented Simón Bolívar's sword being brought to the ceremony, citing fears about security. Petro, once sworn in, gave a presidential order to the military to bring it, pausing the ceremony to wait for its arrival. The executive report of the transition team between outgoing and incoming governments was released last week. The handover report includes dozens of critical alerts on issues which could impact the performance of the new government. Chief among these is the health system, which is reportedly financially unsustainable. According to the recommendations, the incoming government should put an end to some flagship policies of the Duque administration, for example, the orange economy and fracking, of which the report recommends suspension of all pilots. In response to Petro's calls for total peace, some of Colombia's remaining armed actors are making moves towards submitting themselves to justice and laying down arms. The most powerful armed group in Colombia, the Clan del Golfo, announced a unilateral ceasefire via a pamphlet this week. The incoming government has said it is willing to hold dialogue with armed groups and potentially give members reduced sentences in exchange for information about criminal networks. In addition, ELN commander Antonio Garcia announced on Twitter that there is will for peace on the part of that guerrilla group. Inflation in Colombia is at its highest rate for 22 years, according to the National Statistics Office. It rose 0.81% during the month of July and totaled 10.2% in the last 12 months. This is a global pattern after the Russian invasion of Ukraine, which pushed up energy and food prices alongside squeezing households' real incomes. To curb the price increases, the board of directors of the central bank decided in June to increase the interest rate at which it lends to banks by 1.5%, taking it to 9%. The highest since March 2009. Low-income people and families are those who have lost the most purchasing power in Colombia. Those were your top stories for this week. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next Monday.
And we're back. This is episode 435 of the Columbia Calling podcast. My very special guest is no stranger to the podcast. And of course, should be no stranger to any of you who have been listening to the podcast all these years. I think this is probably his fifth or sixth time, maybe, because certainly what he is now promoting or talking about is the fifth edition of La Leyenda multi-day mountain bike race here in Colombia. It's Dave Proctor, everyone. Welcome back on the show.
Hi, Richard. Thanks for having me on once again. You just made me think, how many times have I been on Colombia Calling? Yeah, it must be five or six now. Obviously, fortunately, well, we haven't been on for 3 years because of what's gone on. But, you know, La Leyenda's back, as we're saying. You know, we've actually had one-day events as well, which we've touched on, which has started since the pandemic, but where we're building up now to the seven-day La Leyenda del Dorado stage race. And we're in the Valle del Cauca this year. So we kick off in, well, as we're speaking now, just over 2 weeks' time on the 21st of August in Cali We have a seven-day route, which covers nearly 400 kilometers and goes down the Valle del Cauca, visiting places like Rosso, Buga, Pueblo Patrimonio, as you like Mompos's, Lao Calima, obviously one of the premier water sports destinations in all Latin America before coming back to Cali. So we've got 500 racers from 22 countries ready and raring to go. And yeah, we can't wait to welcome them.
Well, I mean, your message is clear. You're back. Pandemic aside, you're back. It seems like you've come back stronger. You know, these 3 years or whatever they are, interminable period that we were all sort of treading water and just trying to survive, health-wise and economically, of course, and all of our projects, entrepreneurial, sporting, so on. It meant to you and Brian, of course, Brian Murphy, one of the creators, director of this, is you've had to sit down and reconsider how to get back up. And I know, it's this year that you started the one-day races, right? You said Cali, there was one, and then Caldas, there was one. And you've had 1,000 people in the Cali one day and 1,500 people in the Caldas one day. It strikes me that this new sort of vein, not only is it expanding your reach, but it's an excellent form of promotion for the 7 day Leyenda. How is this? I mean, is it different people that sign up for the one day? Is it a different type of athlete?
Yeah, you're exactly right, Richard. So it was a plan we had pre-pandemic. We actually launched our first Leyenda series event before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we couldn't do it. So, you know, the thing we noticed over the years is that Leyenda is a 7 day race. You know, people genuinely train for 6 months, sometimes longer to do it. So also, you know, thinking at a local level, it's fairly expensive to take part for some Colombians. So we have to be conscious of that. So we always wanted to think about how we can expand the brand and take it to more people. So we thought the series concept, where we have 1 day events and we go around Colombia with the event, it gives people a taste of what Leyenda is about. So we give them, we have what we call the travesía, or the ride route, which is completely accessible, which basically, if you bought a mountain bike, Richard, I'm talking to you, you know, if you bought a mountain bike a month ago, you could pretty much do that event. So it gives people a taste of what it's about. We also have a more competitive route, the race route. But yeah, it's also, it basically takes it out to, instead of having an event of, okay, 500 riders this year, previously 250 riders with Leyenda 7 days, we have an event with 1,000 riders in Cali last year, 1,500 people in Caldas just over a month ago, which helps us obviously, enhances our reach with people around Colombia, and also just gives people a taste of what we do. They get to know us, they see our events, they understand that we like to do things well, you know, starting on time, well organized, you know, make sure all the logistics are in place, which people love, because, you know, it's a tough industry. There is competition out there, so we need to always think about how we can adapt. Pandemic, as I said, we wanted to do this before, but pandemic really sort of made us have to do it. And yeah, that's a serious concept, and it's going very well so far. And then we'll hopefully have more destinations coming up in 2023 for series.
So one thing about this is there a cap on the number of people on the 1 day ones?
Well, I mean, obviously, logistically, we have to think about the numbers that we can accommodate, because you can't have an event of 10,000 people, and the logistics is you know, not very good. So we think it's manageable at 1,000, like we did just at the end of last year, and 1,500 just over a month ago. We think we could do more, but it's you want to expand gradually. You don't want to, you know, say we're going to have an event at 5,000 people, then people have not a great experience. So it's all about managing expectations. But we know the concept works. I mean, the event we had in Caldas, I think it was 66% of people came from outside the department. So we know the impact that has on the tourism, on tourism in that department. The governors in the Caldas were excellent with supporting us for that event. They can see, again, post-pandemic, how important these sort of events are. I mean, I think we worked out the economic impact was 2,200 million, which is, I think, over $500,000 just from that weekend. From our event, you know, people come in, bring in wives, kids. I mean, a lot of women take part as well. So it's a whole family event. It's a lot more inclusive. So that's the concept with series. And yeah, we hope to do more of it. And we think we could easily do a couple of series events a year, as well as Leyenda. So that's the plan moving forward.
that's an amazing impact. I'm thinking of the financial, and of course, everybody with their, you know, as they say, con las uñas, you know, sort of screaming out for tourism in this post-pandemic, and we're not post-pandemic, post-disaster, let's say, but a situation, as you say, that $500,000, people coming in, I guess, the day before or 2 days before to acclimatize, staying the day of the event and probably the day after to you know, to relax. So, I mean, when you're doing the Caldas one, I would assume you have sort of cooperation with all the hotels and so on and so forth, because that's a lot of people coming in. And small towns, I don't know, if you've got 1,500, if you've got 1,500 athletes and they're all bringing in a plus one, for example, but of course, a lot of them are bringing in more, as you say, kids. If I thought of Mompos, you know, Mompos can hardly manage 4,000 people. So were you based all in Manizales and thereabouts? Is that, you know, you're looking at, you know, you have a cooperation with the hotels. You've got 1,500 athletes, all of whom are bringing in, let's say all of whom are bringing one or plus people. So you're looking at more than 3,000 people coming in. Were you based mainly in Manizales? Because I wonder what towns could take 3,000 people or 4,000 people straight up. I mean, Mompos could probably do it at a stretch with private homes being rented, but you have to think about all this.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So we're pretty sure we had about 4,000 people altogether that came for that weekend. And I think from our feedback most of them actually stayed at least two nights, which surprised us. We thought a lot of people might come just Saturday and go back on the Sunday. You know, we always try and do these things at a Puente weekend as well, which helps. Mm-hmm. So we were based the Caldas weekend. We had the registration on the Friday and the Saturday, the commercial fair, which is very important. You know, it gives local businesses an opportunity, maybe cycling ones, to sell their products and so on. So we had 2 days of commercial expo and registration. And then we sort of camped about 45 minutes away to La Rochella, which is near the Cauca River. So it's, you go from sort of the, not high altitude of Manizales, but it's a little bit cooler up there. And then you go down to the tropical area near the Cauca, and it worked out fantastically. So we were a little bit worried about the rain, because it has been raining a little bit more than normal in June and the start of July. But luckily, we had an absolutely stunning day on the Sunday, and really happy faces. Everything went very well logistically. And that's the most important thing. It gives people a good time. They sort of see what we do. They get the photo. They become a legend, as we say, as well. So it's all part of showing what we do to a mass market audience. And give everyone a good time. Hopefully they come back, they tell their friends, they bring more people next time. And hopefully I'm sure some of them will sign up for that in the 2023, 2024, because that's what it's about. It's about giving people a hobby. People say, you know, we've changed their lives. That's a very big phrase, Richard, I know. But people have told us that, oh, you know, this hobby has changed what I do and how I live, and, you know, I want to do this, and I go want to do this event in that country, which is, it's amazing to hear.
That's in something I had written down here on my pad. It's like, you know, we're looking at the Commonwealth Games at the moment in Birmingham. Of course, no one else in the world, just in England, really. But it's got 90-something countries participating, and of course, all of the chat is around the lasting legacy. I mean, you are not building stadia and so on. But, you know, the lasting legacy is, you say that someone says to you, this has been life-changing, you have changed my life. That is a lasting legacy. And not only for that person, but that someone says it to you. I mean, you will never forget that. You will never forget that. And now that they want to go elsewhere, overseas, and do this, that's the lasting legacy, is that people are getting involved. And I am certain, especially in the one-day ones, that people will want to travel around Colombia, like following it, like groupies almost, because this happens. This happens. You know, they've explored, let's say, Cali on bike, then they've explored Caldas on bike. So that, you know, we have 32 departments. You should do one round Providencia. There we go, and help the rebuilding.
let's go, Richard. Yeah, I mean, all we need is a good contact to help us work things out with, you know, local government and so on. because you know we is a big event, and we, you know, as you said, support from hotels and buying from restaurants, and everyone to work to the same, know what's going on, you know, work towards the same goal. And if that happens, we can go anywhere with the race. So we're always have our options open, but it's a fantastic concept that we're very proud of already. And we know the potential is huge over the coming years with that, to take it around Colombia, new places, more riders, and it just helps the whole La Leyenda brand.
So, what, I mean, when you're looking for a new destination, I was sticking on the one-day ones because for me it's something new, and I have seen it on the social media and so on, but this is something new because I know a lot about the seven-day one, and, you know, you put in all the challenges there, the, you know, the high altitude, the low altitude, so on, and, the, you know, different types of roads that people are going on. But the one-day ones, when you are scouting for a new location, what are the things that need to fit the bill?
Okay, so we obviously need two great routes. That's the fundamental thing. You need to have a route that's accessible for beginners. Then you want a route that's a little bit more demanding for people that are more experienced, that maybe want to genuinely compete. So that's obviously the primary thing. Then obviously logistically, you know, we need to have a space where we can carry out registration and a commercial expo, those sort of things. So it's looking at other things, like ideally you want a good accessibility to that city. You need decent, a great airport always helps, you know, because people want to come. We do get foreigners that come for the one-day events as well. It's all those things that mean that we can then organise a good event, we can have a good press conference, we can give the department the exposure that they're supporting us at the end of the day. So we need to give them the exposure in return. Obviously, we want visually stunning places, of which Colombia has, you know, thousands, literally. So it's all about looking at that and where we can operate, you know, with our production team, our photographers, and basically selling the area, because we know that a lot of those people will go back again. Even if we do an event or we don't do an event, they'll go back again, maybe on their own with their families. If we do events again there, you know, we already think about event locations for next year with series, you know, people will come back again, and that's what we want. That's what these departments want. They want to leave, like, they want to know that if they do an event, that it brings in so much money to the local economy, which is, you know, especially post-pandemic, is what's required. You know, a lot of these towns, the cities are recovering, but a lot of rural areas still need support. So that's an important thing, where we can leave a good economic footprint. And we can say, you know, La Leyenda is not just a sporting event, it's a, you know, a tourism event, and it contributes to the whole economic success of the area and the country.
I mean, I'm thinking off the top of my head of other, I mean, obviously there's just too many places in Colombia, but would you consider something like, you know, around the regions of the Tatacoa Desert off in Huila? Because I could think, you know, just taking it to a different scenery.
Oh, definitely. I mean, we're always looking at new places, and it just depends where we can, you know, feasibly, where we can go logistically, and there are events in other places as well, so you've got to be conscious of that. So, yeah, I mean, there are amazing places in Colombia. You know, as we always say, one of the things that a lot of our racers tell us, especially the ones that come from abroad, is they can't believe that you can go from, so I'm in Cali right now, tropical climate here, you can go up to near Bogota to a bit higher altitude, go to Medellin, a bit in the middle, then you go to the Caribbean, obviously around the Mompos area. You've got all within one country, half an hour, 1 hour flight, 5-6 hours drive, the climate changes completely. And that is an amazing selling point that the country has. We sort of think it needs to be pushed a bit more. Yeah, and then we're only, 3 hours flight from Miami, 5 hours flight from New York. Strategically, the country has so much to offer in terms of cycling. It needs events and obviously people to bring them here.
It's not. I mean, cycling is obviously the big thing. And of course, I realize it's road racing, and you know, but our cyclists. I'd say our cyclists, the Egan Bernals and so on, and Nairo Quintanas, they put Colombia in a good light, and you therefore, you know, they're up there in the Giro d'Italia or the Tour de France, and, you know, it may be road racing and so on, but it allows people to associate Colombia with cycling. And this is a huge cycling country. I mean, you just, not only weekdays, you see them in their clubs and their teams. You get up at 5 a.m. and they're coming back from like rides around on weekdays. Weekend, I mean, where I'm based in Bogota, on the weekends you see, I mean, it's hard to drive out of the city because, you know, cycling clubs have taken over the roads all the way out into the neighboring towns in Cundinamarca and so on. And they routinely are doing several hundred kilometers. I mean, this is, you know, over a couple of days and so on. It's a real cycling country. But I mean, this is the Achilles heel to Colombia as well, is that there's just too much here for, let's say, branded content. Yeah, and I am always interested is that I don't doubt that Pro Colombia at some point, exhausting a lot of their outlets and creativity, will come up saying Colombia cycling paradise or something. But of course, you know, it would be great for you, but it's not the whole country as we know. I mean, it's like when they came up with the Volteao hat as like a symbol of Colombia. It's not, you know, it's not a symbol of the whole country. And I always feel that this is one of the biggest drawbacks, isn't it? There's just too much here. But you are doing amazing work. And of course, you've got ideas for the next one days, next year, 2023. Let's move on to the 7-day one. Now, this is taking part. This is the fifth edition. There are 500 people signed up. Where is it taking place?
Oh, we're in the La Leyenda 2022 is in the Valle del Cauca this time, Richard. The first time we're here. We did this series event last November in Cali, but this is a route that goes around, you know, nearly the entire Valle del Cauca. It's a big department, but we touch on starting and finishing in Cali. Obviously, great accessibility with the airport here and so on. 35% of races are coming from abroad this time, which is about 100, 150, something like that. Then we have a circuit stage around Tres Cruces, just on the edge of the city. Cali is a very blessed city in that respect. As I always say, how many cities have a mountain right next to them with amazing world-class mountain biking? Not many. Then we head out into the valley. We finish in a town just outside Rosso, in the heart of the Valle del Cauca. Then we have a short transfer to Buga, a beautiful town famous for its pink basilica. Then we have a route up into the mountains in the Central Cordillera. So we start in the Western Cordillera, and then we head over to the Central Cordillera. Then the next day we head back towards the Western Cordillera to La Palima. Then we have stay there for two nights. We have a circuit around the La Palima area. And then stage five, which is a 6-day, stage five heads back to Cali in the longest stage, 96 kilometers. And then we finish off on the Saturday 27th with the final stage again, just outside Cali on Tres Cruces, which takes the overall route to just under 400 kilometers. So it's a challenge. It's mountain biking. So, you know, it's a lot harder on the whole body. It's not just, you know, your legs, you know, your whole body core, your arms, you're feeling it after 7 days, as well as that. There's a heat to contend with this time. So we don't have altitude like we previously had in Manizales and going to the volcano. We don't have that anymore. But we've still got, you know, there's a lot of other challenges in the Valle del Cauca. It's a lot drier, a little bit dustier maybe when we're crossing the valley. So those things to contend with as well. But we're sure. I mean, we've done the route and it's stunning. You can guarantee with that in Colombia, stunning routes everywhere. So we've got that already and all the logistics sorted out as well.
So, and also, I remember from previous Leyenda races, you sort of got local people involved in the race themselves. Like, I think, it was a guy with a bicycle with no gears or anything, like, got over the mountain before you guys, you know, someone who just cycled to work every day on, I guess, like a broken old BMX or whatever. You gave him a bicycle at the end, didn't you, or something? You gifted him one?
Yep, that was La Leyenda 2016, our first ever Leyenda, and that was a guy called Edwin Pena, who literally saw the race go past his house in Murillo, Tolima. And basically decided to follow the race on his bike, you know, a very, very rudimentary bicycle. And he kept up pretty, from what I understand, kept up with the top guys pretty well. Our strategic sponsorship specialized, they saw this and were like, this is a great opportunity. So they gave him a bike that evening at Tamares del Otoño, just outside Manizales, and he stayed there. And I presume he rode back on that new bike. But then we gave him a place for the following edition of La Leyenda 2017. He finished, yeah, I remember now, he was in the mixed category and he finished on the podium. He finished third place. So that's a guy that had never done a mountain bike race before. And he was a very, very good cyclist. He's a very good cyclist, I'm sure. So that was one of our first two editions of Aliander.
Now, do you have other people like that, like signed up, or do you have other plans with which to involve like the local community, let's say more of a humble origin who don't have the means to participate or who have shown themselves to be equal to, real mountain bikers out there, people who travel the world?
Well, our social responsibility scheme this year has been helping Cali Bike Park, which is a project on Cerro de las Tres Cruces, just outside Cali. And basically, they've developed, led by a man called Walter Bonilla, Colombian who lives in New York. He's invested quite a lot of money in the bike park to develop single tracks that we're going to use in the race. And these are stunning tracks.
Okay.
And they go out there. I think they have a couple of people that actually employ full-time now. And the idea is that people pay a small donation to the bike park, and that helps fund the maintenance of the tracks. We sponsor the bike park because we think it's an amazing location. We're going to use it in the race, so we want to give back. So that's what we've been doing with our sort of social responsibility this year, as well as that other races taking part. I suppose this year, it's about 65% Colombians this year, 35% foreigners. But amongst the Colombians taking part, we've now got four riders that have done each edition of La Leyenda. It's almost a fraternity. They're our Jaguars. We've now got two additional Jaguars this year who have since finished three editions of the race, which is what you become when you've done three Leyendas, become a Jaguar. And one of those is Nelson Cardona, who's from Manizales, but based in Bogota. And he is the only Colombian to have climbed Everest with a prosthetic limb. And he's done three editions of our race. This is his fourth edition. He's quite a celebrity. He's done the seven summits of the world. He's a very, very respected mountaineer. He is just when you speak to him, he calls me up regularly with some press that's come out about him or whatever. And he's just a guy that has got full energy. You answer the phone to him, and you're, oh, yeah, just what's Nelson got to tell me? And he's in the race for the fourth time. And he's, as he says, I do it with one leg. He's an amateur rider, okay? He finishes, literally 2 or 3 minutes before the cut on some days because there's a time limit. And it's when the race is on, you get involved in that. Mm. And you sort of, where's Nelson? I want him to finish. Mm. And then he turns up and that's for me, that's sort of the best bit of the race, seeing these riders that they're not professionals, they're amateurs. Mm. And it's a challenge for them and you want them to finish because it means so much. They've trained for months and months. Their families have sacrificed so many things for them to go out every Sunday morning and abandon them and all those sort of things. So then you see it. It's just, I love it. It's fascinating. He, in 2019, he actually raced with a guy called Luis Figueroa, who is our oldest ever Leyenda to date. He was 69 when he finished the race in 2019. He's not signed up this year. But when I was speaking to him, he only took up mountain biking when he was 63. And he finished our race a couple of years later. I think our oldest racer this year is 71, from what I saw on the register. So it's just seeing these people is, they're, because when you're involved in the organisation, you're behind the scenes and you see, we've got to do this, we've got to do that. But when you meet the people, that's what it's all about. They're the sort of people that it's all about. And you see them and what it means to them when they finish and they get the medal, you're like, yeah, this is cool. Good to see them, good to share in their success.
Significant age, 71, significant to do something so physically demanding. Mountain biking, I've only done a couple of times, and now I'm 45. I'm not going to lie, it's not going to happen with my knees. I'm not going to lie. So to imagine myself, 18 years from now, 16 years from now, trying to do it, nah, I can't see it. But, let's go with this. Never say never. Maybe I'll have prosthetic knees. But now, will there be anywhere to see the race? Is any of it going to be televised? Or will it be on YouTube or so, or Facebook Live?
Well, our social media channels cover everything. So, we're live every day on Instagram. We have a press conference today in the Spivak Hotel in Cali, so that gets a lot of local press out and national press as well. But there should be news items every day with Caracol, Odyssey, because it's not just the race, it's showing, video help, it's showing the scenery, showing the experiences that these people are having over the 7 days. So, yeah, there's loads of press. We've got a couple of pretty high profile riders as well this year signed up. Amongst them, Marcelo Gutierrez, who is an ex-downhill champion. He was sponsored by Red Bull for a couple of years. And there's a very famous video of him doing a sort of a downhill circuit, or not a circuit, route through Manizales, going down the city streets.
Oh, I've seen that. It makes you feel sick.
So he's doing it. He's not as... he doesn't really compete as much in downhill anymore, but he's still a very, very respected cyclist. He's coming along, which is great for us. Gets the race out to a lot of people on his networks. Monica Calderon, our champion from 2018 and 2019, she's also racing again. We just finished second in the Titan Desert, which is a similar race in the Moroccan desert. So we've got a lot of high-profile riders back, and the press is generally... There was excellent press coverage. So keep an eye out. Keep an eye out for it. People can, we always say people can make sure they're following us on social media. Darienda MTB on Instagram. Darienda Dorado on Facebook and on YouTube as well. So just keep an eye out for those things, and you can see everything that's going on.
So hang on a second. Darienda MTB is Instagram.
That's the one.
And then Facebook Live will be Leyenda.
La Leyenda del Dorado, and the same on YouTube as well. I mean, we have LinkedIn and Twitter as well. People can find us, obviously, via the website as well, la-leyenda.com. Yeah. So all the news is there, and you'll be seeing lots of stuff published throughout
the race. Oh, you certainly are. So remind me the day, the kickoff for this fifth edition.
Yeah. So we hope the race starts. We have registrations on Saturday the 20th of August in Cali. Then the prologue starts on Sunday, the 21st of August. And then the final stage is Saturday, the 27th of August. And then the big news is we open registrations for La Leyenda 2023 on Monday, the 29th of August. So that's, anyone listening that wants to take part, that wants to come to Colombia, around the world, that's the day to be online, 9 a.m. our website. We're opening registrations. Big news coming up about that. We can't say too much right now, but that's now the end of 2023. We've got about 500 riders this year, and capacity, as much as we want to expand capacity, it's always limited. So we always encourage people to be there, 9 a.m. on the dot when we open. There's always a limited number of early bird places as well, so people need to make the most of that.
So the 29th is going to sell out as fast as Glastonbury. I think it's amazing. Can I get an estimate of how much, if people signed up in the early bird, how much it would cost to sign up?
Prices, we haven't decided prices for next year. But
what's going on this year?
You've got to think the prices we set this year were three years ago, but we're looking at a similar thing for next year. The early bird price was just under 3.2 million per person for 7 days, which includes accommodation and all your food and logistics. That puts us the best value race in the world. If you compare similar events in South Africa, the Cape Epic, other events in Europe where you're going to sleep in a tent, they don't give you half as much as what we give, and they don't give you anything like the Colombian hospitality or thousands of people cheering you on with your name. So we know the race is very, very competitive with price. It's great value. And we always get fantastic comments from our competitors about, when they see what we give them and how well we look after them. Always good to know.
It's just over $1,000, really.
What's with current exchange rates, Richard? If you like mountain biking, you want to come to Colombia and you can get yourself in decent shape, you need to train, but anyone can do it. I think the examples I've given over the last 20 minutes, it shows that anyone can do this race. and, you know, have an amazing, unforgettable week's mountain biking in Colombia.
So you can expect next year's to be priced at like 9 million because of inflation.
Well, not that much. No, we're generally trying to keep the prices as accessible as possible. So,
no, it seems great. I think it's excellent. I think I really, you know, it's one of these good news stories out of Colombia and, you know, putting it on the map in this. There's a belief in what you're doing. I mean, you quit your day job for this. that's... Your life was changed. There you go. We come back to that phrase. So I just say, listen, let's get you on in a year's time again to discuss the sixth edition and where it is happening and the one day events that you're going to be doing, and so we can continue to enjoy the evolution of La Leyenda. I think that's what's so exciting, and also that it's not stuck in one place. I think that's the other thing is researching, because you're getting repeat clientele, repeat cyclists who want to be out there, because each one is different and each one is more, you know, there's an exoticism to Colombia. There's an unknown to Colombia. That 35% of your signups this year of the 500 are international signups coming down here in immediate, you know, it's long haul. Aside from Miami, but it's long haul to come down here. It's not a small adventure. It's quite serious to get down to Colombia. And you guys have opened this for them and for this, these athletes. So thank you again for always being so enthusiastic about it. You guys have done more for Colombia than many. Yeah, with the La Leyenda. So thank you, Dave, for your time and, of course, sharing what information you can. I was hoping for front page news. I was hoping for the splash that you could tell me something about next year. But that's fine. Let's keep mum on that. And of course, we'll hear.
We'll have stuff coming out very soon about next year. Like you just said then about taking the events around Colombia. Yeah, our whole goal when we started at the end was to show off Colombia to the world. I think we're doing that. Obviously, the whole team, not just Brian, you know, Rowan, Diego, Clara, Patricia, and two new members of staff we've had for the last year, Isabella and Juana, they've been amazing in helping us grow despite the difficulties we've had over the pandemic. And it's a pleasure to sort of have these catch-ups every year, hopefully, you know, keep going on and... do what we love in showing Colombia to the world.
Yeah.
That's where we're at the end of it.
Well, we sign off here. Let's sign off. You were just in the UK. I was just in the UK. I have to ask you, were you there for the 40 degree heat?
I wasn't, Richard. I was there in May, which was, sort of English spring, but a lovely time. I was there with my girlfriend, Valentina. We had a lovely couple of weeks there. It was obviously after pandemic and hadn't seen family and friends for, well, the best part of 2.5-3 years. It was just lovely to be there and sort of appreciate English pubs and trains running at the time. I didn't notice, you do notice it's not, you know, with the staff shortages and stuff like that and inflation, it's not just Colombia that's affected, is it? You know, we see these effects all around the world. So, I always think that when you live in Colombia, the grass sometimes seems greener, you know, back where you come from, but then you go there and you sort of see Colombia's, you know, still got, it's got loads of opportunities. It's great to live here as well. So it's not all about, you know, sort of, there's a lot of Colombians think, it's not all about going to Europe, is it? You know, there's a lot of opportunities here. And it's a great place to live and form part of.
Well, otherwise we wouldn't be here otherwise. I mean, that's the truth of it. So, well, let me say thank you, Dave Proctor, for giving us all this information on the fifth edition of La Leyenda and, of course, the one-day events that they're hosting. And there will be more news about next year's race and next year's one-day events, next year's sixth edition. Just an amazing success story, amazing, I would say, evolution of, obviously, an idea that came over and came out over a few beers down there in Cali and is now internationally recognized and celebrated. So thank you again for your time. Everybody check out La Leyenda MTB, that's on Instagram, La Leyenda del Dorado, that's on Facebook. Of course, there's a website and everything else. You can find it. We'll put them on the Facebook page as well. Dave, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Richard. Thanks a lot. Thanks once again.
You're most welcome. Have a great day. Everybody listen up. And of course, we'll go over now to some messages from our sponsors. So don't go away. And of course, be sure to tune in next week. Thank you and bye-bye.
This episode was brought to you by Latin News, a leading source of political and economic analysis on Latin America and the Caribbean. Since 1967, their flagship publication, the Latin American Weekly Report, provides a behind-the-scenes briefing on all the week's key developments throughout the region. Sign up for a 14-day free trial at latinnews.com. And also, our other sponsor is BNB Colombia Tours, experts in custom-made travel throughout Colombia. The team at BNB Colombia Tours can provide you with fantastic private experiences, creating wonderful memories of Colombia for a lifetime. Check out the website at bnbcolombia.com, complete the free itinerary form, and tell them that Colombia Calling sent you to receive a further 5% off their already great prices. So that's bnbcolombia.com and, of course, latinnews.com. Thank you for everyone for listening. That's us. Farewell. And, of course, check back next week. Bye-bye.
Con la luna, habla con la playa.